Good afternoon to everyone. Welcome to today's daily COVID-19 update. I'm delighted to be in Blytheville, northeast part of Arkansas, one of our premier cities and counties here in the state, but it's a long ways from the central part, and it's important for everyone here in Mississippi County to know I have not forgot them. They're a part of our economy, part of our future, and very proud to be here today. I appreciate being on the campus of Arkansas Northeast College, and Dr. James, I appreciate your support for this. Dr. James Shamwell, I want to make sure I pronounce that right, the last name right. Dr. James Shamwell, president of the college, presented this mask to me and has been a great host for today. See Representative Johnny Rye here as well. And we've had a very good visit with our community leaders, our educators in multiple different schools, as well as our hospital administrator here, and our business community, our mayor, our county judge. And what I see is, and Dr. Jennifer Dillahay is here, our state epidemiologist, and she commented that she was inspired by the way the community is working together in the response to COVID and the challenges that we see. And I want to express my thanks to you as well. But it was exciting to see their preparation for school next week. They're all together to get it done. They know there's challenges, but they're committed and they're excited about the opportunity for the students. I first wanted to comment today on our state's plan to address equity in online instruction. As we start in-school instruction and in-classroom instruction this year, we recognize there'll be some that choose to learn online. There'll be other times that we might have to shift to an online instruction platform through the course of the year. We hope that we'll be able to stick with the in-classroom instruction and keep that option open through the school year, but we know that we have to have other options. And for that reason, people say, well, what's the state's plan to make sure that every student can have access to an online education as well? And the answer is we've worked very hard in this in combination with the Arkansas General Assembly. And we devoted $24 million initially to rural broadband grants, the Rural Connect program. And today I'm pleased to announce that the City of Earl and Comcast has received the latest Rural Connect grant in the amount of $1.8 million to expand rural high-speed broadband into their hard-to-reach areas of their community. This follows multiple other announcements of grants from Cotton Plant to Ozark to Magazine in areas of the state that needs that type of assistance to get the broadband to their community. And I mentioned that we put $24 million into these grants. I'm pleased to say that and want to thank the Arkansas Legislative Council today for supporting an additional $100 million of Arkansas funds in these rural broadband grants. And this will help our rural communities, our providers, to expand that internet access. Secondly, as you know, that as a quick solution, we needed to have Wi-Fi access points, sometimes they're called hotspots, Wi-Fi access points in our schools so that they can be delivered to students that might live in an area that they can't get Wi-Fi access readily. And this will help them to make that connection so they can do their homework or they can learn online. And so of that, we allocated, based upon student population, those Wi-Fi access points, 380 have been granted here to Mississippi County that have been delivered to the Blytheville School District, Armorell, Osceola, Gosnell, Manila, and Rivercrest. And so those should be helpful through the course of the year. And so with that, let me go to the discussion on our cases for the state, and then we'll look at, as we do when we travel out into Northeast Arkansas more specifically. And so we've had in the last 24 hours an additional 410 cases. which is down a little bit from the previous day, down a little bit from the previous day to that. And so 410 cases brings our cumulative total to 53,487. We've had 16 additional hospitalizations. That brings us to 492. And very sadly, we've had 16 additional deaths because of COVID-19 statewide, which is just a reminder that this virus is serious and we need to protect ourselves and others. In terms of testing, we've done 4,675 testing over the last 24 hours. We'd like to see that a little bit higher, but that still is a good testing day, and it gives us a good sample across the state. In terms of the counties, there were three counties that had more than 20 new cases. They are Sebastian County with 44, Pulaski County with 40, Washington County with 29. And because I'm in Mississippi County, I dug deeper, and Mississippi County had 5 new cases. So that's good news that it was just 5 new cases. And then Crittenden County had 9 new cases, nearby county. And so with that, let's go to the graph so we can see it in our more traditional way. And it shows you how we're doing. You can see the last couple dates are at a lower level. And the next one will show us the 7-day rolling average, which shows our trend line. And that is in the orange. And we hope that we can continue that trend line either flat or down, most hopefully down. And then we see the number of active cases, which is very important because those are the ones that are in the community that if they're not quarantined or isolated, could spread it. And that number has gone down. We hope we can continue that trend. Hospitalizations, as I noted, has gone up a little bit. We're not at that high water mark of 515, I believe it is, but that went up a little bit. And then we have the testing. Go ahead to the next one. All right, let's stay there for a second. This is the date of test result and the testing facility type. And so you can see that we were up a little bit from yesterday on our testing. The commercial labs came back some, as well as our health lab did more. A little bit of the weekend lag there, it looks like. We would like to see those commercial labs continue to get higher in number, and we're hopeful of that, but that's a fairly good testing day. And then the percent positive, we can just say that it's on a good course downward. We want to be able to keep that trend. Those last couple days will be filled in. We'll ultimately be a little bit higher than that, but we're getting down, hopefully, below that 10%, which is critical. And then let's go to the Northeast region. So we covered our state. Let's go to the Northeast region. And I know this is a little bit busy, but this is by county, and we have the August 9th date and the August 15th date. So really comparing Fridays, I believe it is, and the growth of cases in between those dates. So the top county is Clay County, and you had 12 additional cases during that week period. You look at Craighead County, had 128 additional cases during that time frame. And then you go on down, I know people are curious about Mississippi County. On August 9th, there were 926 cumulative cases, and it increased to 1,041, so it had a growth of 115, which is a 12% growth rate. Now, I know you know that's too high, and that's the point of this. I see Mayor Sanderson here, and he understands what that means. So we've got work to do here in Mississippi County, but you can see the trend line. And then if you go to the same thing that's expressed except by a bar graph. So you can see it in a different way as to where the counties stack up. And this is the percent increase on the left side. The highest percent increase was Poinsett County, which didn't have the number increase, but the percent increase, Poinsett was high. Again, it shows that in every rural area of Arkansas, you cannot go anywhere that there's not either an active case or a potential asymptomatic case that is around. And you can see that speaks for itself. You go over white counties in the northeast sector, Independence County as well, that had about a 17% increase. And then this is by age group. I always like to show this because it reminds every age group that no age group is immune from potential of the COVID virus. And so 0 to 17, in August 9th, they had 732 in raw numbers in accumulative cases. August 15th, we had an additional 107 increase in that age group, 14% growth rate, which is the highest growth rate. And so teenagers need to be aware that they could be asymptomatic, that they could be carrying that virus. And so it is critically important that they wear a mask and or socially distance themselves. 18 to 24, we had a 13% growth rate. 65 and older, which a little bit surprises me because 65 and older really are careful, but they still had a 14% growth rate in cases. And so every age group, again, needs to be careful and mindful that they could be part of the solution or part of the problem. This is the Northeast region in terms of hospitalizations, and we're not at the peak, it's down, but we want to continue to watch that. And then the 7-day rolling average for new cases in the Northeast region, it is not like it was back in early August with that high point there. It has declined since then. We want to keep it on the right trend line, and we want to keep testing both. And then this is for all of the regions. And again, the green, which is the Southwest region, is flat. The red is Southeast. That's up a little bit higher than that, but they're all pointed in the right direction or flat right now. And that's a good sign for our state that it's all going in a good direction, but we want to keep testing and we want to make sure that we have a good radar if there's any area that starts going in the wrong direction and everybody to be mindful of that. And I think that is all, but let's check the last screen. It is all. And so let me just end before I turn it over to Dr. Dillahay, that one of the points that Dr. Birx made yesterday is that she was concerned about the border counties. Sebastian County, as you can see, for a couple days have had a large increase in cases, relatively large increase in cases. Mississippi County is one that we need to watch because there's a lot of cross-border traffic into Tennessee, in Sebastian County, over in Oklahoma. And so we have to watch the movement of people and to be extra careful whenever we are moving or whether we're in an environment like that, that we're going to have visitors from out of the area or workers. We have to be extra precautious, and that's because we're family here in Arkansas. And we get used to family. Now, I say that a little bit jokingly. We still have to we have to make sure we wear a mask and protect ourselves under all circumstances. And Dr. Dillahay is going to give us a little lesson on testing and some of the different kinds of tests. Dr. Dillahay.
Well, good afternoon, and thank you for having me along today, Governor. I'm really happy to be here in Mississippi County, and I appreciate your hospitality so much. So as the governor said, we had 410 new cases, and 325 of them were from the community, and 85 were from correctional cases. So that tells us that we have a lot of transmission going on in our communities. We're seeing an increase in hospitalizations. We had 492, and we also had a slight increase in the persons in the hospital who are on ventilators at 122. This can be a very serious illness, and we need to take it seriously. We have had 619 deaths in Arkansas, and that's 619 too many. And we need to keep in mind that each one of those persons had a family and people who loved them who already missed them terribly. But fortunately, we've had 46,970 people who have recovered. And that's really an important figure because we want that to be the highlight of what we celebrate about what the work that we're doing in Arkansas to protect each other. So that means that we have 53,487 total cases to date in Arkansas, with 5,898 cases who are currently active. So we have work to do, and I'm very heartened by what I heard today in Mississippi County about all facets of the community, from schools, college, business, and civic leaders working together to make the community as safe as possible. It was very heartening to hear that. I'd like to take a few moments to talk about testing for COVID-19. That's an area that we get a lot of questions about, so I wanted to talk a few minutes about it. Let me start by saying that when a person gets infected with the virus that causes COVID-19, it can take up to 14 days to become ill from that virus. But more often, it doesn't take that long. On average, people will develop symptoms in about 5 or 6 days. And they usually can spread it 1 or 2 days before they develop symptoms, which is why it's really important for everyone to wear a cloth face covering, because you don't know if you have been infected. After a person has developed symptoms, it takes about 10 days for the body to clear the virus so that they can no longer spread it. So 10 days of isolation is needed after someone develops symptoms. And this is for someone who's well enough to stay home and not be in the hospital. If someone's sick enough to be in the hospital, or they have a condition, or they take medication that weakens their immune system, they need to be isolated for 20 days. So identifying people when they first get symptoms is it's really a key strategy to stopping the spread of COVID-19. It's very important that people who have been infected and develop symptoms get isolated as quickly as possible so that we can stop the spread. So one way that we learn if someone's symptoms are being caused by COVID-19 is we do a test called a PCR test. That stands for polymerase chain reaction. So it's easier just to say PCR. Now, when this test first came out, people would get a swab that would go up way into their nose, back beyond their nose, into the back of their throat. And that was really not a very pleasant experience. It was necessary, but not pleasant. Nowadays, we have nasal swabs, and these are swabs that people can use themselves to collect their own specimen. It has a little brush on the end, and you put it in your nose up maybe about an inch, and you swab the inside of your nose, and you use that to collect the sample. So it's much more pleasant, and a healthcare provider doesn't have to do it. You can do it yourself. Now, the PCR test is the most accurate test that we have, that's the good part of it. The difficult part of it is you have to send it off to a lab to be analyzed in the machines that run those PCR tests. So depending on what lab you're going to, it can take a couple of days to get it at the fastest. But if we're sending it to a commercial lab, and many of you are aware that some of the commercial labs have had such increased demand for tests that they haven't been able to complete the test timely, and part of that is because they couldn't get the chemicals, the reagents, to run the tests because the demand was so great. That is better now, but the health department can do these PCR tests, and so we're able to do them in a couple of days, get you a result, and that it works really well. The second kind of test that is coming online is going to be more and more available. Right now, we're still having supply issues, but in the future, it will be very helpful. It's called an antigen test. And the antigen test is useful because you can have it in a clinic or a doctor's office. The local health unit can have one. You take the sample and you put that directly into the machine, and it will give you a result in about 15 or 20 minutes. The downside, you can only do one at a time. You can't do hundreds at a time like you can with a PCR test. But you can do one at a time. So you know if this person who is having symptoms, if it's caused by COVID-19, it will be positive. And that's another point I want to make. These antigen tests are for people who have symptoms. They are not for people who've been exposed and you want to see if they have the infection and they haven't developed symptoms yet. You need a PCR test for that. But for people who have symptoms, this antigen test can give you a result very quickly. You have to be careful with these tests, though, because sometimes they miss people who have COVID-19. So if it's negative, you have to back it up with a PCR test and send that off. But it's positive, you're good to go, and you know that person has the infection and they need to be isolated right away, and then we can begin to do the contact tracing for the people that they would have been around. I did want to mention there's a third kind of test you may have heard about. It's called an antibody test, and that's a blood test. And an antibody test does not turn positive till someone's getting well. It's maybe 2 or 3 weeks after you've been infected. So these tests are not useful for making decisions about whether someone needs to be isolated or not. They are useful if we want to study the spread of the virus in the community, how many people got it in the past, and they're useful in understanding the immune response to vaccines. But they're not useful for deciding whether or not someone needs to be isolated because they're positive after you've passed the infectious period. So they aren't useful for that. So I guess I'll stop now and turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Dr. Dillahane. With that, we'll take any questions. Is there any question remotely?
Hi, this is Emma Claybrook with 4029 News. Today, Oklahoma election officials announced that they will print new green absentee ballot return envelopes to help postal workers more easily identify mail-in ballots ahead of November's election. Is this something that you would consider in Arkansas?
I like the innovative idea of anything to make it easier and to work with the Postal Service. That is something that the Secretary of State needs to work with the county clerks on and the county election commissioners. So I hope that that's something that the Secretary of State will take a look at as to what Oklahoma does and see if that's a good fit for Arkansas. Any other question?
Hi, this is Andy Davis with the Arkansas Democrat Gazette.
Yes, sir.
I just wanted to ask with the cases going down, but also the number of tests going down, and the positivity rate so kind of hovering around 10%. How do you feel like we're doing in terms of controlling the virus? Do you feel like it actually is going down, or is it about the same or going up? What do you think about the spread of the virus?
Well, I think that we're doing sufficient testing to give us a good idea as to the level of the spread of the virus. And I think that it's clear that we're either flat or going down, and that could depend upon the level of testing that you're doing. But when you're doing over 4,000 tests a day, that is more than we ever imagined 3 months ago. And so this is a significant amount of testing that we're doing. Obviously, I would like to get it a little bit higher than that, and we hope that we can get there. But I'm comfortable that we're getting a sense as to where we are with the virus and the extent of its spread.
Governor, good afternoon. It's Neil Gladner in Hot Springs. You talked a little bit about the disappointing news about antigen tests yesterday. Since that time, have you had a chance to check with your fellow governors, and is there an update on where your compact might be in terms of purchasing power for that?
Let me emphasize that the coalition of governors with the Rockefeller Foundation, that is an alternative that we hope will provide some solutions, but that's a ways off. And so, you know, I had a call the other day that our hospital is not able to get the antigen test because the governor's coalition of states has bought it all up. We haven't bought any yet. And so the current lack of supply is not because of the acquisition through the coalition. That will be down the road, hopefully. But we'll keep you posted in the time frame, but there's not any action right now. The federal government is acquiring more of the antigen, and they're putting a priority on getting that back to the nursing homes to increase the testing there on the antigen test. Now, in reference to our plan as a state, yesterday it sounded like, well, we're not going to be able to complete our strategy, and we are. The strategy is to use our antigen test through our local health offices that can support our schools and put a priority on them as they go back to school. We have over 1,200 tests that will give us an initial start with the antigen test, but that will also lead to a PCR test, and that if we are out of the antigen test or we need to supplement that, we have the strategy in place that will be prioritized with our Department of Health that continues to test at a high level. So we're going to be able to support through our Department of Health testing, which is within a 48-hour turnaround, all of the testing that is needed for supporting our schools. Any other question?
Yes, Governor, this is Bridge Knight News out of Jonesboro, of course, Arkansas. Is there any way you can give us more details on the Mississippi County Wi-Fi devices? Any more details to that?
On the Wi-Fi access hotspots. So the state allocated $20 million to purchase these Wi-Fi access spots that will go to our local schools that they can distribute to families and students at no cost to the student. And it's a partnership with our providers that have agreed upon a set price that is a good break for us. And they're allowed to go home with those, and that will give them access from their home. It's divided by population, and so I indicated the number that's coming here to Mississippi County to all of the schools that will supplement their efforts in online instruction. In addition, the carriers have agreed to use the same cost if the school wanted to buy more of those hotspots. We'll continue to look at the need of that, but I think that will be a good boost to our students and our schools.
Thank you.
All right. With that, hearing no other questions, it's great to be in Mississippi County. I'm grateful for the hospitality, and we'll look forward to seeing you again. Thank you.